It's Thursday the 6th of December and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host Paul Hinton and as ever I'm joined by Sean Phillips and Aaron Wren. Hello there gents.
Hello there Paul.
Good evening Paul.
And we are back this week to talk through a number of games, starting with the Challenge Cup win in Brayhead last Wednesday, just over a week ago. We'll obviously be picking our player of the week, early notice for Aaron to get thinking. We will discuss the latest departures from the Devils. We've got a burning question from Jason Manley to lighten the mood a little bit after a discussion of departures. And our preview of the weekend will be nice and quick with just the one game in Belfast for us to discuss. So, as a pre-warning as well, the review of the first two games will be quite quick because none of us actually watched any of the games. So, and the first one wasn't even our fault because it was in Brayhead. And as we all know, they're Luddites and they don't like webcasts. It seemed to be the story, just taking it off paper and reading bits and bobs, it does seem to be a bit of the story of our current track record of not being able to hold leads particularly well. Devils raced into a 3-0 lead in the first period, goals through Stephen Dixon, Charles Longley and Joey Martin, before Brayhead won the second period 2-1 to make it a 4-2 game, and then just in Devils fashion, we can like conceding 8 goals at the moment, and 22 seconds from the end, Vaclav Stupka, I wish I hadn't tried to say that name before, made it 4-3 with 22 seconds left, so that'll make the second leg a little bit interesting. You know, Aaron, it was looking like quite a comfortable lead to head into the second leg, but, you know, possibly a bit of a tricky tie for the Devils coming up now.
Yeah, like you said, Paul, we're following a trend lately and conceding goals late, and we could have come with that game with a 3-goal lead or even a 2-goal lead. Now it's just the one, so it makes our job that much more difficult. Full of confidence, though. You know, Brayhead, you know, they beat Steelers on the weekend, and they are quite a decent team, but I don't think they, right now, unless we go back into another slump, I don't see us having much of an issue with them, and I'm not going to say we're going to walk through them, but we should make the semi-finals quite comfortably.
Yeah, hopefully, and it's always nice to have a bit of interest coming into a second leg. And then on Saturday, a very different game by the looks of it, and one that again didn't see, but sure, it seemed like it wasn't going to be the Devils' night with a 0-0 first period, and then Flyers taking a 2-0 lead about halfway through the second, and a bit of a turnaround from the Devils from there on, Sean.
Yeah, and we obviously came around and took the game by the scruff of the neck and got ahead by a good margin, and that gave us the opportunity to, you know, rest a couple of legs and you know, take things maybe a little bit easier up in a tough building to win. I wasn't expecting to see that result, and when I could see the goals ticking along, as you said, five ticking a 2-goal lead, I just thought, well, here we go. It's a tough old place to win, and didn't expect us to come back from it. And then my phone burned red hot with all the goals that we were scoring. So yeah, it's good to listen. We played five a couple of times on home ice this year. I think we only dropped 1 point to them at Ice Arena Wales this year, and it's good to go up there, and it's a tough build to play, and to get 2 points there is a massive return for us.
Excellent. And, you know, after those 2-5 goals, it was 7 unanswered goals from the goal. Paul Crowder got one. And Lane Olmer, a 7-3, just put another one in a minute later to make sure at 8-3. So, you know, big win for the Devils with, you know, our first trip to Fife this year. So, yes, it was good to get that and get some confidence. Sorry.
I guess a good goalie.
Yeah, and let's not forget that heading ended his long streak of a slump and managed to grab 2 goals as well, which is...
I think we were up to 14 or 15 by then, yeah. It was.
So, go heading.
Go heading indeed. And something worth noting that Justin Farina did get a goal with what turned out to be his last goal in a Devils jersey, which we'll come on to once we've discussed the final two games, which are at home, which you'll be pleased to know that we did watch, so we can actually discuss in a bit of depth. So after the trip back down from Fife on Sunday, Devils welcomed the Dundee Stars into Ice Arena Wales. And it was, I had to take the game. The game felt to me like we were dominating. We weren't making it count on the scoreboard. Single goal from Matt Pope in the first period. And yeah, I think I said to a couple of people, it felt an awful lot like the Milton Keynes game where, whilst we had a lot of the play, a lot of possession, a lot of chances as well, we were unable to convert them and, you know, really make it pay on the score sheet. And then through the second, Sean Bentivoglio doubling the lead, but you know, a 2-0 lead going into the third period at home against one of the bottom teams in the league. You think you should be confident, but I felt a little nervous. Sean, what was your sort of take on the game at that stage?
I would have felt a lot happier if Mike Hedden's baseball swing from midair had counted and we'd gone into the period break 3-up. I was like yourself. You look at Dundee, they've picked up some good results against some good teams, and they punish teams who aren't playing at their best. And yeah, it was one of those where, like you said, you just had visions of that Milton Keynes game and the Fife midweek game where they came back to claw back almost in the last minute that we just managed to hold on to. And yeah, we lost a little bit. We lost a little bit of energy. There was a couple of errors and Dundee, you've got to give credit to Dundee. They made a lot of saves. Their goaltender made a lot of saves. They collapsed very well, forced us to the outside. We didn't get a lot of real high quality scoring chances, but we were putting pucks on net and not getting much luck with rebounds. They cleared the zone really, really well. And overall, they stuck at it. And I got to be honest, I haven't watched the highlights back in great detail, but I think they might feel a bit aggrieved that they didn't win the game in regulation.
Yeah, I think it was sort of difficult to tell, but sort of watching it live, I thought that the puck had slipped past Bams. Might be my initial thought. It was a goal, and you know, sort of luckily it was inconclusive. It was given as a no goal on the ice, and clearly proved inconclusive at worst on the goal line technology. See, the goal line technology wasn't working for the baseball bat swing. I've been seeing a still of it. The camera's obviously above the net behind the goal, and I thought the stick looked above the crossbar from that angle, which makes you think it was probably a little bit further given, you know, the perspective of the camera. So you're potentially the right decision, but you know, given without goal line technology. Aaron, for you, you know, the technology wasn't working in the second, couldn't be used. Obviously both coaches were made aware. Do you think it's right then that when it's working again, that the technology is used? Or do you think once it's gone and one team's lost the chance, it should stay gone?
That's an interesting one. I wouldn't think it's probably the decision for me would go if it was against us or against them. If it's against them, then the rules doesn't count. If it's against us, then you know we get get a chance there. But no, you know, if you're gonna keep the game fair, if it doesn't work for one, you know, you got to keep it consistent for the rest of the game. Because, well, even though they did use it, though, didn't they? For the
that's what I mean. That
possibly. Like, I wasn't aware that the thing was down, so like it didn't affect me when they did review it. I was just oblivious to the fact that if it doesn't work for one, it shouldn't work for either, because you know it becomes an unfair advantage then for that team. Like, you know, Mike Hedden's goal could have actually been a fair goal, and we could have been going into that period 3-0 up, and it might not even have come to that decision to use it again, because we could have run away with the game. But you know, or we could have lost that game if it did work. It's definitely, I think, one rule. The rules, if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work for anyone. Turn it off. Save it for next week.
Sean, do you think that's fair? Or you know, goal line technology doesn't inherently offer one team an advantage. Do you, or you know, do you agree with Aaron, or do you think that where it's possible to get a decision with all the information that's needed, you should do that as much as possible?
Yeah, I think that the technology should be used as often as possible. If it doesn't work on an occasion, then that's no reason why it shouldn't be used. You know, these things happen. And
just to interrupt very quickly, where would you stand? Say that it was reversed. The first, you know, that goal against us was given, but they wanted to challenge it for high sticks. And we say, oh, sorry, the goal line technology is not working. You can't use it. And then a bit later on in the game, there's another incident where goal line technology would benefit us again as the home team. And all of a sudden, the technology is working again. You know, do you think?
No, yeah, of course. Yeah. It does open a bit. Yeah. I can see what you're saying. Yeah.
It just so happened that both ways was against us. First one was against. Yeah. Both reviews would have.
Yeah. Okay. You should be able to judgment on it. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. If it's not available for one team on the night, then it should be unavailable for both teams. Yeah. Okay. Same point.
So. I'm not actually sure where I sit on it. I think I potentially agree more with using it when it's right. But given that the Elite League, you know, those systems, and you know, this isn't a judgment on you know, Devils. Knowing the people, they wouldn't do it, but. You know, they are all home officials and, you know, the chances to abuse it. It's not like we're going to Toronto who've got the review system like you have in the NHL. It's a lot more inbred.
Small scale. Small scale. Small scale.
Small scale. In-house. That's the word. It is a very different meaning as well. So,
but in fairness to the league, it's been used brilliantly. And I think for a league at this, We should have it, but it's been implemented very well and used correctly when it's needed to be. So, you know, it will always have its glitches because you said, like you said, we are not the NHL. We're not going to Toronto. We don't have the means that they do. So, but, you know, for what it's given us, I think it's been a really, really welcome addition and benefited the game.
Yeah, overall, it has been a major plus. Back to the game, though. Obviously, the Stars got their first goal 5 minutes into the third, and then their tying goal with just under 5 minutes left. And you know, Aaron, at that stage, it really felt like, and obviously they had that goal washed with a review as well. Did you just feel like momentum was fully in Dundee's corner, did Devils still do enough to look like they had a chance of getting back into it?
I wasn't going to count us out, and I did expect us to come away with a win, but Dundee definitely had a lot of momentum behind them. You know, they got two absolute solid lines that iced God knows how many minutes, and in that third period they were just relentless, and you know, every mistake we made they counted on and acted on, and you know, I wouldn't say we was unlucky not to get a win, because I think we just got a little bit outplayed in our third period, and I think they wanted a little bit more than we did, and that's how it goes in the end. You know, if you take a pedal off any team in this league, it's going to turn around and bite you on the bum, and that's exactly what it did.
Yeah, Sean, and as Aaron said, it ended scoreless and through overtime as well, and you know, into that penalty shootout, Devils coming up against a very hot goalie in Pontus Georgian.
Yeah, and it was. I was quite interested to see that the way penalty shots were going to go, because we haven't seen one this year at all, and we didn't see very many last year. So it was interesting to see which sort of lineup Andrew Law would go with his shooters. And I think the biggest surprise of it was seeing how many people walked out after the three shooters, assuming that the game was over.
I wonder why the Dundee players didn't leave the bench. I thought, beating the current champions is nothing to the Dundee Stars. They don't care. And, they just carried on. I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea we'd gone back to five shooters, because it's got to be over 10 years since it's been that, Sean.
God, it's got to be. But then, I'm trying to think how long it's been since we didn't have draws. It's been a long time since we didn't have ties.
And then you had
the shootout for a couple of years, and then it changed after that. So I'd go with about 10 years.
Interesting change. I think it is, I quite like the change. I think it's
but didn't we see it in a cup final?
Sunday.
Cup finals were always fives.
Were they?
Because I was under the impression when Heddin scored that we won. That's why I thought people were walking out, because, like, I got caught up in the moment. He goes bar down, scores a beauty of a penalty shot, and I was like, yay, we won. And then I was just like, why is the team not leaving the bench? We just won.
Heddin's goal equalised it. Heddin's goal made it 1-0.
Yeah, I know. I realise that now, Paul.
I love how wrapped up you got that you didn't realise that there had only been two shots and it was 1-0. That's a proper in-depth. I did then lose track of it once we got into the fourth shooter. So I was like, I don't know what's happening anymore. While you're talking about Mike Heddin's, one of the nicest finished penalty shots I've seen in a long time. Mm. Sean, you'd have had a lovely view of it from behind the goal.
Yeah, that sound still is incredible. I love it. Posted in or bar down, love it. And it was an absolute rocket. I didn't see... I thought that he was going to go if he had hit the net, it would have gone through it, because it was an absolute rocket.
Yeah, and Devils undone in the end by Matt Marquard managing to score with his first penalty and then being the first player chosen into sudden death and converting on his second shot as well. So two well taken penalty shots from him. Mm. Disappointing result for the Devils. It did, at the very least, keep the point streak that we've been on since the loss against Belfast. So you're picking up at least a point in every game. And then move Devils into Wednesday night when the Guildford Flames came into Cardiff. And I feel like the officiating for the evening, Aaron, was set 13 seconds in when a face-off violation gets called and Matt Pope's, it's a 2-minute minor for encroachment, not even for a face-off violation, and it didn't really go up from there, did it?
Yeah, we cover the puck or whatever happened in the other end, in our end, and I didn't even see, I didn't know who was taking the drop, but I didn't even see anyone attempt to make a drop. I didn't even know he was lined up ready for a drop, and the next thing you know, Martin's in the box. I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Already, you could see that's the game, the way the game was going to go. And, the first 5 minutes, a lot of calls went unnoticed, and there was a lot of soft calls. And on both sides, I just thought, I don't know if you could say it got better throughout the game, but the first period, maybe two periods, where officiating was anonymous, terrible. And I could see that.
Yeah, and there was an interference call on a Guildford player, Abt, where two players were skating side by side and both fell over. The referee's arm went in the box, up in the air, and every player just turned and looked at the ref to find out who the call was against, because it was that just bizarre. There was nothing in it. So it wasn't, an anti-Devils referee performance. It was just not great. And you made the game frustrating to watch at times, but I think, as it often does, a poor refereeing display adds to the atmosphere and the crowd that little bit more into the game. And sometimes it's one of the best things that can happen to a crowd.
Yeah, for sure.
That first Matt Pope penalty for the face-off violation, Guildford Flames scored exactly 2 minutes after it. So counted as an even strength goal, but effectively was a power play. And that's how the first period ended. And Sean, for you, with Guildford, the better team and worth that one goal lead?
I think we started a little bit flat again. That obviously early kill doesn't help, especially with a team like Guildford, who their special team, but they're a good side in general, and their special teams are known to be very, very effective. And so, you take that early penalty, you give them a chance to get their nose in front and quiet your home building, and And it did get a little bit quiet, but as you said, a couple of referee indecisions sort of got the crowd back into it. And I felt like we were playing the right way, made a couple of mistakes defensively, but going forward, we were you know, gaining the zone fairly well and getting a couple of good shots off. And I think on balance of the first period, it was probably the right sort of score going into the intermission.
Yeah, and you know, Guildford had, you know, took 16 shots in that period, so it's you know, a high attack. Mm. Level from Guildford. It was a lot of shots taken for the period on the road against anyone. So, yeah, that's fair enough. And worth noting as well, the Devils play in the body a little bit more than we've seen in recent times, with some, you know, decent checks played and then a bit of dirty play every now and again that resulted in, you know, a couple of penalties. Second period, Devils go on a power play early. It was the dodgy interference call that Jordan Abt had already taken one for holding, took one for interference, and Aaron, Mr. Ulmer, getting the goal on the power play.
Yeah, it was, you know, he scores plenty of power play goals usually, but not in that manner. It was kind of like, well, not as good as Heddin's penalty shot, but it was just an absolute bullet from quite far out, and I don't think anyone, including me, his biggest fan of all time, expected it to go anywhere near the net, let alone in. And next thing you know, we're at the tie game, and, you know, 37 years old, still got it.
He's not going badly. Assist from Matt Pope and Gleeson Fournier on the goal. Sean, your Devils, you know, it felt like had, you know, far and away the best of the second period to me, but Guildford hit back with two goals in 2 minutes from Redick and Janssen, and, you know, could easily have, you know, changed the momentum and, you know, sort of heads drop on the Devil's side.
Yeah, but I think we reacted quite well to that. You know, as you said, we played the body a little bit. The building was very, very energised by the, you know, the fact that we had to battle against some course and the referee and face a little bit of adversity. And yeah, it was a really, really weird game. I thought Guildford are they're a very, very good side. And I was glad that we managed to get a couple on the board and again, just carry the one goal deficit into the break. I was still fairly confident that we could go and tie it up and go ahead and hopefully take a win.
Yeah, and you know, Charles Longley getting that second goal with just over 5 minutes left in the second. Some good stick work in and around the goalie's pads after an initial save, I believe. Fournier also getting an assist on that goal with Mike Heddin chipping in with the other one. And then into the third period. And worth noting, that second period, whilst it was 2-2, Devils outshot the Flames 23-9. You know, it just shows you which way the ice was tilted. But, you know, Devils couldn't do enough to get the game tied up after, you know, Guildford had pulled back ahead. Devils fans always say they love, you know, sort of playing the body, playing your physical hockey, Aaron. There's a lot of your valid points made around it. You're not always working on big ice, but you know, Matt Pope, to lead in Joey Martin's goal, showed that it definitely still has time and place.
Yeah, I thought it was a brilliant play. You know, he played the body, dug deep, worked hard, turned the puck over, and Joey Martin was there straight in the slot to score the goal. Incredible work effort by Matt Pope. But on your point, Paul, I think there's a little bit different of going for a hit that's that close in your offensive area, in their defensive zone, than skating 6 miles out of position to make a hit to get a cheer. Like, I think, you know, what Matt Pope done was great, and I'd pay to see that every week, but sometimes when you make a hit, you leave yourself vulnerable and out of position, and a counter-attack is always on. And I think, like, for me, that's why, not that it doesn't have a place in the game, because it obviously does, and, you know, like you said, it gets the crowd into the game, but, like, I'd rather see someone make a fantastic pass or skill round, like, Chuck or Charlie Langley skill around two players and take a shot than someone skate the length of the ice just to make a hit and get yourself out of position, because very, like 60, 70, 80% of the time, you know, you're coming back down the other way and it's a scoring chance for the opposite team, especially on this ice size.
Really good point, yeah. In the first period, there was a shift with, I think it was Benty, Dixon and Hedden all throwing big hits, all in the Guildford zone. I think it may have been Guildford's second or third that came from a bit of a gap that was left open when an open ice check was attempted and missed. So it definitely shows you the time and the place difference. No more goals in the third period and heading into overtime for a third home game in a row. Sean, how confident are you feeling? Guildford, you're a fast team and showed that they could cause us problems if they had a chance. So what were you thinking going into 3-on-3?
Yeah, 3-on-3 is as much of a lottery as the shootout these days. It's, we have mixed results in it. Some people say we're really bad at it. I think we dominated the 3-on-3. I really do. I feel like we were absolutely all over Guildford. We played it the perfect way. We obviously had the benefit of a 4-on-3 due to the high stick on Joey Haddad. Didn't manage to capitalise on it, but that then obviously wears Guildford out a little bit more. They're down to their three. We're working them hard with the extra skater. And going into it, I was more confident saying that if we had to win that game in overtime. I didn't feel like we could have won it in a shootout based on, you know, what I'd seen against Dundee and what you know the some of the scoring capacity that Guildford have. They're such a deep scoring team that I felt like we had to get that done in overtime.
And Chris Crosby was having a hell of a night as well.
Mm-hmm.
A 43 save night for him. So yeah, excellent there. Yeah, Devils had the 4-on-3, couldn't capitalise on it, but yeah, when Lindhagen came out, they obviously stays 4-on-4 till the next break in play, which didn't happen. I was quite happy for it to carry on 4-on-4. I thought that suited us.
Yeah.
It took the run and gun element out of the overtime a bit, and you know, we were able to use the extra space that was there without the massive risk. Drew Schistel came onto the ice and literally, I think he skated into the zone. The puck came past just above his waist. He put his stick out, batted it out of the air, stopped it dead at his toe, and you know, kept the puck alive, kept the play going, and you know, that's what ultimately led to the winner from Gleeson Fournier. And I was glad that whilst that puck got cycled around, that Schitzel got an assist on it as well, because you know, I thought the bat out of the air alone, Aaron, was worth it. But you know, a great goal from Fournier.
Yeah, unbelievable. And I just think it's fantastic. You know, he was a little bit done out in the first couple of minutes with Ben Davis going for a terrible slash, which resulted in Fournier retaliating and taking a penalty. And what better way of karma than scoring the game winner in overtime? Like, if I was Fournier, I would have skated so hard past that bench, screaming in all of their faces. But that's because I haven't got no sportsmanship.
the brutal honesty. It was a goal that capped off a great performance from Gleeson Fournier in general, though, Sean.
Yeah, I think Gleeson Fournier has been exceptional from the start of the season. He's taken on the extra minutes with ease, and I think that's a lot for him to do, given his fast, you know, mentality of the game. And overall, he's been fantastic. I felt that given, like you said, Aaron mentioned, he got a little bit angry in the first period, and he's had a couple of misconduct, abusive official calls this year. And I think it's really good to see a player like that keep calm, keep composed in the key situations where it really matters. And Fournier's been massive for us. Overall, he's probably been one of our best players this year. And really, really good to see him get a winner again, and more very, very good things to come from him, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the week that was. You have four games in 8 days for the Devils, with dropping just the one point, unfortunately, at home. Turned out all right in the end with regards to some of the results, which we'll come on to in the preview. But now, shock horror, Aaron, we're going to do a player of the week. I think it's safe to say we're going to be basically, it's a player of the two home games, given our viewing of the week. Sean, let's start with you.
I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say Mike Hedden. Obviously, ends his slump up in Fife. We obviously didn't see all the games, so we can't testify to how he was in it. But I felt like the last couple of weeks, he's really, really put his, you know, his game face on and brought it every night that we've seen him play. And I just think he's going out there playing every shift really hard and battling for every puck, scored a great penalty shot and was unlucky not to get another goal in that game. So I think the chemistry has worked very well on that line. He's maybe been, you know, they've been carrying him a little bit, but he's really putting his getting into his stride and hopefully he just keeps improving and we'll go on to win a couple more Player of the Weeks with us. We'll hopefully win this one.
Indeed. Aaron, does he win this one? Does he win it with the man to spare?
No, he does not. Surprise, surprise. I agree with Sean. Hedden's been quality in the last couple of weeks, but for me, I don't think you would give it to a man other than Fournier. We spoke about him when we talked about his goal just now. The guy's been absolutely incredible. Everything we could have asked for after losing Hotham and more. You know, he's second in our point scoring. He's continuously playing well. I don't think he's had a bad performance yet. Decision making is a lot better than what it was, bar taking the extra two minutes for smashing your stick against the glass. But, you know, he's French Canadian, so what do you expect? Yeah, I just think he played fantastic, and what a goal to end the game on Sunday night. And pretty much I'm basing it on Sunday night anyway, so karma is a B word. And yeah,
it's a beauty. In this instance, it's a beauty.
Yeah, karma is a beauty.
And it's also a player of the week. It's Gleeson Fournier for me.
I win.
Yeah. He picked up a couple of assists as well as his goal on Sunday. Over the four games that we've just discussed, he was 2+6 in. So 8 points over four games for a D-man is an outstanding return. And, you know, whilst I think Sean's right, Mike Hedden picked it up, I think Gleeson Fournier has, you know, had an outstanding week. And it's a well-deserved winner of Player of the Week. Look what happens, Aaron, when I give you a warning at the start of the season. You get a win. Didn't mention it going into the Guildford game, but yeah, we played minus Justin Fruner, who it was announced on Tuesday had left the Devils due to personal reasons. Interestingly, we hadn't recorded on Monday, though a few people did ask if we'd had an episode in the can that had resulted in big news. But we've actually had a chance to discuss it in the week it happened. Aaron, for you, you know, a massive fan favourite, and just back from an injury layoff. What sort of loss is that to the Devils, do you think?
I am a little bit gutted for him, because obviously it wasn't down to his decision. Like, you know, it was obviously outside sources which caused this to come up, but he hasn't had a great start to the year this year. I posted on Twitter, out of the 20, well, if you include Challenge Cup as well, out of the probably around 30 plus games we've played this year, you've only started in, I think it was 11, and only tallied up 1 point, which was his goal on his last game as a Devil. So performance wise, I don't think we're going to miss him too much. Fan favourite, you know, as Lord said in his post-game interview, he's a guy who'll do anything for the club and put his body on the line constantly, which, as you can tell, the amount of injuries he's had, he probably does do, but, you know, we are, as a fan favourite and probably a room guy, we probably will miss him, but as a player and right now on performance, probably not I'm not too gutted because now we can get someone in who's, you know, could play that role and actually put points on the board and stay fit. But, you know, all good things come to an end, and it does suck. Like, a guy that was so big for our team last year, you know, out of unforeseen circumstances, can't continue his role this year.
Sean, is, you know, as Aaron said, it's always sad when a player's career comes to an end. You know, not through the means that they would have chosen, either through injury or other reasons, you know, as in this case. So, you know, it's sad to see a career cut short. And, you know, for you, in terms of impact on the rest of the season, you know, what sort of bearing do you think this will have on the Devils?
Yeah, I think it's a shame. Like you said, it's never nice to see a player, you know, finish his career, you know, when it's not entirely down to his choice. But it's, I can see the reason why people are obviously upset. Like you said, he was a fan favourite. He brought it every night, was a fast physical player, and always, you know, threw the body, gave it everything when he could for the team when he was match fit. And, yeah, it's a shame. I think we will miss the style of play that he brought, but I think we can bring that style of play with someone, you know, that's a role which can be taken on by somebody already in the lineup, or it's something we can add. You know, it's not that difficult to add a workhorse, which Justin Freeno was, but he also brought a level of talent with him as well. I think he was our second highest goal scorer last year, if not our highest goal scorer. So I think he's not been quite the same player this year due to injuries, and like you said, obviously the other stuff has happened to him recently, which has forced his decision to leave the game. But yeah, I see it as an opportunity to add a bit more balance and stability to our roster, and I think we will do that. I think we will find a suitable player to come in and take on that role. And Cardiff's had fan favourites that have left many a time, including, you know, guys like Tyler Michel. And you lose a guy like Tyler Michel, and a couple of years later you find a Justin Freeno, and we'll work ridiculously hard to try and find someone to fill that gap.
And yeah, obviously the club's in a much better position to find a replacement than the year that we lost Tyler Michel. The reputation is a little bit different. So it's been announced today as well that Mick Kemp, the equipment manager, has also left the Devils. You know, Aaron, in terms of team stability, is pretty much been 100% over the last 4 years for the Devils. You know, injuries here and there, but nothing, you know, never like an injury crisis. We've had a few knocks this year, and now with, you know, the Tom Parisi false start, Ben Blood going to Finland, Justin Freeno leaving personal reasons, and the equipment manager leaving as well. It sort of feels like it's all mounting up against the Devils this year.
Yeah, it's a funny one, you know. I think the Devils, like, in my opinion, the Devils went out this year recruiting and was like, you know, we'll get wherever player, high standard, you know. Like, if you look at Langley, you know, he played 8 KHL seasons and come straight to us, and I think they set the standard that, like, we're going to try to be the first club that's going to three-peat. And, you know, we started off really well, and then we've hit this slump. And, you know, players, like you said, Paul, first time that players have left the club, and it seems like everything's stacked up against us right now. And, you know, Richie's still carrying a knock and out of the lineup. Team probably, like, you know, there's a couple of guys not scoring. Bounds isn't on top form. He had a great game Sunday, but right now, he, like, current form is not where he's usually at. And it's just everything is stacked up against us right now. You know, Freeno leaving doesn't help us. And for me, Mick Kemp, I don't know what's going on or why he's left or whatever, but for me, I think it's a massive role. It's probably just as important as any other role. Like, you know, he's probably a great, like, and for me, an equipment manager isn't just someone who hands out sticks when one breaks and sharpens skates. You know, they know how a player likes their locker prepped and things like, there's so much, there's like key details that go into the job. You know, And I think to lose that, you know, we looked a little bit like I did look over the bench once or twice, and I think Sam Deggan lost his stick, and you know, there was players scrambling around trying to get him a stick to get back on the ice, and you know, I think a person like that is key to the team, like locker room staff, he's key, and not that we missed him obviously because we won, but I think it's like I said, everything's just stacked up against us right now, and if we can get through this Christmas period unscathed, keep this point streak going, start the new year with a fresh, and hopefully things will start going in our favour. New year, new me kind of thing.
Sure, Aaron talks about things being stacked against the team, and there's pretty much two ways that that type of scenario goes. It's you start swinging or you go down with a whimper, and you know, it'll be a true test of the team's resolve from here on in.
Of course, and I think it's been a bit of a test all year, and we've answered that test. You look at the departure of Blood, Tom Parisi not coming, that massively affected the makeup of the team on anything, with Parisi electing to go back to North America, and it just seems to be one thing after another, and we haven't had that for a number of years, and now suddenly we've got all this bad luck, a couple of injuries coming into play, and you know, we're still in a good position here. We've lost some games we probably shouldn't have, but let's not forget we have a longer season this year. Teams are improving year on year. And we are the team to beat. There's no doubt about it. And overall, you look at where we are. If we win, you know, if we win our next game, if we win our game in Belfast, then we're right there. We still are right there. And it's December. We haven't been playing our best, but we've still been picking up points and wins. And I think that's a result of, you know, a successful team. You talked just now about, you know, that fast physical element that we aren't known to play with too often. But we played like that for 2 years and didn't win a league title. Then when we've used it effectively, we've gone on to win titles. And I think that way wins games, without a doubt. It's working for Belfast. They're a fast physical team. Not to say that they're a bunch of knuckle draggers. They're winning games for, you know, far more reasons than that. But I feel like this is a bit of a test, like you said, going forward. And if we're in this position after Christmas, I'll be very, very pleased with how the season's gone so far. And yeah, let's see where we are in 3-4 weeks time, and then we'll really know what this team is made of.
Crunch time.
And you know, for when you consider the amount of negativity that, you know, we've discussed it, we have had some quite negative shows, and you know, around the fan base, for the fact that following Wednesday, in terms of points percentage, we are the top team in the league. It's amazing that, you know, we've been that almost that critical of the team, and there's been that many issues that people have been flagging. Yet, you know, in terms of that, there's no every team would want to be in our position at the moment. We've taken more points from the number of games we've played than anyone else. So, yeah, if we can click it and, you know, come through this adversity even better, then I think we could be in for a very interesting last half of the season. Burning questions. We've got one from Jason Manley, Sean. Let's change speed a little bit.
Yeah, we do. Jason Manley asked, after watching an Eeyore, in brackets, an Aaron, bounce off a Dundee Star during the Teddy Toss, my questions are, which Disney character would you hurl at which EIHL player and why? Paul, did you have one prep for this?
It's not something that often comes into your mind. I love the question. It's a lovely worded question. I think after Wednesday's game, it would probably be a heavy Disney character and Ben Davis, because he plays the game in such a way that you want to throw stuff at him, and you know, Gleeson Fournier tried to throw his stick at him a couple of times. So, I think a heavy Disney character. Ursula from The Little Mermaid. She's quite big. There we go. Ursula from The Little Mermaid and Ben Davis. That's my answer. Words that I never thought I'd put put together on a podcast. There we go.
Aaron?
I don't know. Probably like the same as Paul, but instead of Ursula, probably like Dumbo.
Nice.
That's so much better, yes.
Like an aeroplane, and like fly him into him and, you know, make sure he doesn't get back up for a long, long time. Maybe even put him in the ground.
Oh, ouch.
I'm joking.
Very cutting.
Sean, it doesn't feel like the season to have a lot of players to choose from. A few years back, you've had Colin Lloyd, Adam Keefe, Danny Stewart were all playing.
Colin Lloyd? Who's Colin Lloyd?
Oh, was his name not Colin?
No.
Darryl.
Colin.
I wish he was still playing, because there's got to be a Colin chant. Okay, then Darryl Lloyd. I'm Googling Colin Lloyd after the show, because I must know one. Sean, have you got anyone?
Yeah,
any Collins that you want to throw?
No, I was going to go with it a slightly different way. I was going to go with Dory from Finding Nemo to throw at Davy Phillips, just to see how alike they would look. Because Davy Phillips looks like a fish.
You'd probably get locked as well, fair play. Fine, Davy Phillips.
Well, we've seen Davy Phillips forget a puck in a game in Cardiff not that long ago when he just skated in the wrong direction, leaving an open net.
And we've also seen him forget which goal he's scoring in and scoring his own net.
that is an excellent shot. Colin Lloyd, whose nickname is Jaws, is a retired darts player. So somewhere in the back of my mind... Somewhere in the back of my mind, he made more of an impression than Darryl Lloyd did on me. There we go. That's a great question, though, Jason. Tweet us. Everyone tweet us. What Disney character would you want to throw at which Elite League player? Go past or present. That's pretty exciting. Send them in. And get your burning questions in for next week, because we're coming on to the preview, and we've only got one game to preview, which means next week we've only got one game to discuss. So we need stuff to fill the show, and hopefully we won't have any massive news in terms of departures again. So we need some burning questions. Get your thoughts in. Get your Rahmites in as well, and your Disney characters. Mm. But Sunday, Belfast, who came in through a little bit of a bumpy spell. They went to Sheffield for a doubleheader. What a magical weekend that must be. And won on the Saturday, but lost on Sunday in Sheffield, so and then travelled to Dundee in league action last night and lost 6-4, I think, in the end. I know they shipped six goals on I think Stephen Murphy's third start of the season and shipped 6 goals on 23 shots, so you're not a good night for Belfast in Dundee. Sean, you're heading over there, and I'd imagine after the last sort of week or so's worth of action, probably heading over there with a little bit more confidence than you would have been before that.
Yeah, I'd like to think we've turned a corner. We are not playing on the Saturday. It is our first game of the weekend. Our only game of the weekend, as we've said. Belfast, I think, go to Guildford.
Guildford on Saturday, yeah.
Yeah, so they go to Guildford the day before, which is, we've seen they're a match for any team, so... It's going to be a tough test. Undoubtedly, Belfast are the team. We haven't obviously played them since they absolutely trounced us. I wouldn't say they lost a little bit of form. I think they've maintained good form since they've played against us. As have we, but without, the very, very good performances that we had in the early days of the season. And I think that was maybe a bit of a reality check for us. We weren't playing at our best. And I think we could have. I think that did us a couple of favours in terms of, trying to work out where we were, what we needed to do to improve. And I think we've done that. And it's a test for us, without a doubt. I'm reading a couple of places that Besko or Beskarowani, however you pronounce his name, is a doubt for that game. That's why Stephen Murphy played in Dundee last night. So that'll be, you know, one factor. If he's not playing, we have to win that game, point blank, because we're going to play Belfast a bunch more times this year when he's fit and he's really making a difference. I think he's leading the stats of all the goaltenders in every area at the moment. So, yeah, it'd be good to go over there and pick up the one win in the loan visit over there. We obviously have the double header come later in the year, but it's always good to get these points on the board early, and it's a 4 point to use a horrible expression, but it's an absolutely massive game.
Indeed, and yeah, we're currently tying our series with Nottingham, who are there at the moment appear to be the other title rivals. So, and Aaron, was it important for us to get the series against Belfast tied up at 1-1, having lost the first one?
Yes, 100%. You know, they beat us at home, so we're already, like, if we split it and we win home and away, then we're already one down. So we got to get that one back if we're going to stand a chance. They're going to be one of our biggest rivals, and I think the next five games between us and them could be the ones that possibly decide who's, I'm early days, I know December, but it could possibly decide who's going to take that title. And this try and take that SSE arena away from them, take them home fans away, let's go up there. You know, at the moment we seem like we're an away team, we're getting the results on away ice, so let's not stop there, let's get a W in Belfast. Sean can have a few baby Guinnesses and some Jameson, and hopefully not call Vandermeer any unnecessary names again, and bring 2 points home in a suitcase for them.
Well, hopefully I'll bring five, because I'm going to watch the football the day before.
It's about Leeds, okay.
don't make me mention Scott Young again. I had complaints last time. So yeah, a massive game, and obviously one that I'm sure there'll be a massive webcast purchase for on Sunday across South Wales as well. And you were right about Besko. I'm just going to call him that. I'm not even trying. He's leading your goals against average by some distance, save percentage quite comfortably as well. Wins, you know, you name it, he's up there. So, you know, it's a really good point that we've got to take advantage if he's out.
Less
because he's
two a game.
Christ. Yeah, you know, if goals against average is 1.74, next in the league is Mike Garnett on 2.5. So, you know, it's three quarters of a goal.
That's amazing.
Difference between them. That is, you know, hell of a stat. So he's a top goalie in a good team. So if he's not in that good team, then you know there's an opportunity to be had. So, and you know, even if he is there, your Devils got to go out there, play with confidence, and you know, get that win on the board, because you know, to lose the first two against him, it's only a 6-game series this year, and you know, they only need another one to have it split. So in what I still think will be our biggest title rivals, so a massive game. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Please do get your burning questions in and your Rahmites. Otherwise, we're going to have to think of ideas for next week, and we're all rubbish at it. And get your Disney characters that you want to throw at Elite League players to us as well, and we'll read out the best ones next week. So thank you again for listening. But for now, that is your Red Army Roundup. Devon side, Devon side, ever since